in its truth and purity, in the waters of holy baptism, in with and under bread and wine in the Lord's Supper, and who promises to come again. We pray that God would richly bless our Advent season, our Advent devotion, and our time together this evening. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening, our opening hymn, as we heard in the prelude, 345, Hark! A thrilling voice is sounding. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. That's on page 229 and following. Page 229 and following, we'll use the insert from this past Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent. Special focus will be on the epistle reading from Romans chapter 13. Each year, we have the privilege to hear the confession of our junior confirmands. In the past, we had one really long questioning service at the end of the year, separate service set apart from everything else that we did in the church. And a few years ago, we broke that into four parts. Tonight, we'll hear the confirmands confess their faith as they have learned it from the Apostles' Creed. From the Apostles' Creed. And we pray God's blessings on them as they prepare their hearts to receive Jesus and to boldly confess what they believe, teach, and confess. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special time in the church year, a time of hope, a time of preparation, but tonight, as we focus, a time of repentance. Heavenly Father, we live in a world of darkness. You are the light, and you have delivered us from darkness into the light. Help us now to walk as children of the light and not as children of the darkness. Bless us and preserve us so that the darkness would not overcome or overwhelm us. And help us to fix our eyes on that day when we will behold the light of Christ in the mansions of heaven for all eternity. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hymn 345.
Hear me. The Order of Vespers, page 229, page 229.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King who comes to save us.
I invite you to turn to the introit as it's listed in our bulletin insert. We'll sing it together.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust, let me not be put to shame.
Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame.
You may be seated for our office hymn, hymn 336.
Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual printed on your insert. None who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called.
and Israel will dwell securely.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this Advent evening. The epistle reading we heard just a moment ago, Romans 13, 8 to 14, especially verse 11 and 12. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Dear friends in Christ, you know the time. I can only imagine that the excitement is building, especially in each one of the children that are gathered here tonight, right? Everything is in place. The presents are under the tree. You can't wait for church to get over so you can run home tonight and open all those presents. What's the problem? You know the time, right? You know that this is the 4th of December and not the 24th of December. You know how silly and how ludicrous that would be to run home and expect to open presents tonight. This is a time of preparation, not a time of opening presents. But you know that day is coming. You know the time. Whether you open them up on Christmas Eve night or Christmas Eve day, whatever your family tradition is, you know the time is coming. You know the time. My friends, this season of Advent is about knowing the time. You know what time it is. And I'm not talking about ordering the presents or giving Tuesday or Cyber Monday or any of that stuff. I'm not talking about making sure that you have all the right food bought or the decorations in place. Advent is not about preparing to celebrate Christmas, not primarily at least. Advent is a season of hope. Advent is a season of joy. Advent is a season of preparation. Preparing what? Preparing your heart. And as God calls us to prepare our hearts, He calls us to wake up. To wake up from our sleep. The night is almost gone. The day has already dawned. Wake up, oh sleepyhead. You know what another word is, or another way to say wake up in Scripture? It's very easy. It's very simple. Repent. Repent. To wake up, to prepare your heart, is to repent. We know what time it is. The whole world is already celebrating Christmas. Christmas music, Christmas decorations, Christmas everything. And let's be honest, you could already start shopping some Christmas sales already back around the 4th of July. It's a never-ending cycle to generate more dollars. Christmas is not about pumping up the economy. Christmas is not about who can spend the most and be the most creative on the lights and decorations in your neighborhood. Christmas is about God delivering His Son, born of a virgin, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wrapped in flesh and blood, delivered to you for salvation. Jesus, God in the flesh, pure holiness, pure light, pure perfection, takes on flesh and blood and places Himself under God's holy and condemning law. He does it for you and for me and for the life of the world. Holy, perfect Jesus fulfills God's law. Jesus takes all of our sin to Calvary's cross. And as Jesus hangs naked, bleeding, dying, He says, "It is finished. It is finished." The preparations for your salvation are done. Jesus has accomplished completely everything for forgiveness, life, and salvation. How do you know for sure? Because 3 days later, the dead body of Jesus, His corpse, is raised back to life, never to die again. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was not only a new light has dawned for Jesus, but a new age is upon us. Christ has defeated death and the darkness of our sin. And Jesus has arisen to light, new light, perfect light. A new age, a new eon is upon us. But we still live in the darkness, don't we? We are children of the darkness. We were born in sin. The consequences of sin are daily reminders. Every day, babies are born. Every day, people die. Sometimes the babies don't even get to be born before they die. We live in a world of darkness. My friends, this new light that has dawned with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus promises, is yours. When Jesus comes again in His power and might and glory, the whole world will see the new light of Christ. From east to west, from shore to shore, the four corners of the world, they will see the brightness and the brilliance of Christ, and they will know the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, risen from the dead, come to judge the whole world. But what about now? Is this new light? Is this new age only something for the future? No. Because of God's great love for you, He has already delivered the light of life to you. Good Friday and Easter. New light, new life delivered to you in the waters of holy baptism, snatching you from the darkness of sin, death, and the devil, and placing you already in this light of life, this light of Christ. God has loved you enough to give you this light already, now, knowing that on the last day when he comes again in power and might and glory, you will see it fully and completely. You know what time it is, don't you? Well, you think you do. It's night. It's dark outside. You're tired. Tired from a long day of work or a long day of study or a Netflix binge. It doesn't really matter. You're tired. You're sleepy. Before long, sleep will come to all of us gathered here. It's a way of life, isn't it? Sleep comes. My friends, God is teaching us tonight in His Word that sleep comes to us spiritually as well. We have been woken from the sleep of death through the waters of holy baptism when God created faith in us. We are alive and we are children of the light, but we still live in the darkness. The darkness of sin. Our own sin and the consequences of sin in the world attack us each and every day, and we get tired spiritually. It's hard to stay awake. It's hard to listen to the Word of God. We're so busy. It's hard to listen to the Word of God. We're so tired. It's hard to listen to the Word of God. Why? Because of all the evil things that we do and that have been done to us. And so because we're tired, we sometimes cozy up to our sin. We cozy up to that old Adam or old Eve that lives inside of us. We cozy up and we say, it's only going to be for a minute. I'm only going to shut my eyes for a little bit. And before long, the spiritual sleep of sin has sucked us in. And we're asleep. And it feels so good to be asleep. And we don't want to wake up. But we do, don't we? Is there any one of us gathered here tonight that hasn't woke up and thought about the things that we did the previous night or the previous day, and we are filled with guilt and shame and remorse because we were sucked in to the darkness of the world, because we were sucked in to the lies of Satan and our flesh? What's worse is when we have slept in our sin and in the darkness of this world's temptations long enough, after a while, we wake up and we don't even care anymore. We're not even guilty anymore. My friends, God's word tonight is a clarion call for us to wake up. To wake up and repent. To hear the word of God. My friends, we're children of the light. And as children of the light, God wants us to walk in the light. Do you hear what he says? The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of life. You can't do it. You can't put on your own armor. God has put this armor on you in the waters of holy baptism. He has robed you with the righteousness of Christ. God calls us to live in that righteousness. And what that means is to daily die to our sin. You remember Luther's words? Baptism part 4 in the small catechism. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition, daily remorse and repentance, be drowned and die with all sin and evil lusts, and a new man should daily emerge, ready to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Oh, come on, Pastor. Every day I'm supposed to repent. Every day I'm supposed to return to my baptism. I'll ask you a simple question. Are you tempted every day? Does Satan ever take a day off from trying to tear you out of the kingdom of light? On the day when you are not tempted by the devil, the world, or your own flesh, that is the day you don't have to repent. My friends, God is calling us to be who we are in Christ Jesus. We are robed with this armor, which is Christ and His Word. We can stand up to the assaults of the devil, the world, and our flesh. Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in, are you ready for this? Orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy. My friends, this is the way the people of darkness live. You are not people of darkness. Wake up! Wake up to the light of Jesus Christ. Christ has bled and died for you. Live in the light of Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. My friends, you know what time it is, don't you? It's time to wake up. To wake up to the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ has bled and died for you. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead for you. He has given you a glimpse of the eternal light that He has prepared for you in the mansions of heaven. Right here and right now, you are children of the light. Don't be lulled into a false sense of security and into a spiritual sleep. Put on Christ. Stay awake. Encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ to stay awake and live in the light and love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Happy Advent. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our preparation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. We use the words of the Magnificat, page 231. Please stand as you're able.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense,
and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been
be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, our King, who comes to save us. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship with us. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of Advent, God's deliverance from darkness into light, would be your joy, peace, comfort, and salvation today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Once again, it is with great joy that we are here to witness the confession of our junior confirmands. We have 10 junior confirmands this year. Unfortunately, one is sick tonight, and one had a school commitment that he could not get out of. And so we pray God's blessings upon the 8 who are here this evening to make their confession of faith. We've broken the questioning into 4 parts. About 6 weeks ago, we had our first questioning that was on God, the Bible, and the Ten Commandments. Tonight, we will examine the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed. So, Joe, what does the word creed mean?
I believe.
Okay, let's try it again. We got to get the mic right here.
Am I good?
Yeah, keep going. Just say
I believe.
I believe. I believe. It is a confession of faith. What are the 3 ecumenical creeds of the Christian church, Blake?
The Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian creeds.
Okay, so if any church claims to be a Christian church, they will confess those 3 creeds. That's why they're called the ecumenical creeds. So of those 3 creeds, Jacob, which is the one that we study in our catechism?
The Apostles' Creed.
The Apostles' Creed. Shoot it all the way down. Aubrey, what is the first article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. So, Walter, what does this mean?
I believe that God made all creatures and
I believe that God made me and all creatures and made my body and soul, my eyes, ears, nose, and all members, and everything, and takes care of me. He also gave me clothes and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land and animal, and everything I have. He richly and daily provides for me. He richly and daily provides for me
all that I need
for this body and soul, for my body and life. He defends me from danger and protects and guards me from evil. All of this he does through fatherly divine goodness and mercy, with no merit or merciness in me. Of all of this, my duty is to give thanks, pray praise, and serve and obey him. And all of this is true.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Walter. One of the three long ones tonight. All right, Peyton, we talked about creation in that meaning. What does the word create mean the way the Bible uses it?
To make from nothing.
To make from nothing. Allison, with what did God create the world?
His word.
His word. Not with raw materials, but by the power of his word. How long did that take?
6 days.
6 days. Aubrey, what kind of days were they?
Regular days.
Regular days. Regular 24-hour days. Aubrey, what happened on the seventh day?
He rested.
He rested. Not because he was tired, but to give us a pattern for our work week. Eli, could God have used evolution to create the world?
Yes.
Of course, God can do whatever he wants. Did he?
No.
How do you know for sure?
His word says so.
His word tells us how he created the world, by the power of his word. What is God's most important visible creation?
Humans.
People, humans. What is God's most important invisible creation?
Angels.
Angels. What are the two types of angels, Peyton?
Holy and unholy.
Holy and unholy, good and bad. Jacob, what day were they created?
We don't know.
We don't know. We know they were created in the 6 days of creation, but God doesn't give us that detail. God tells us in his word that people, Adam and Eve, were created in his image. What does it mean that people were created in the image of God?
Holy.
Holy and without sin. Do we still have that image of God?
No.
Why not?
Because Adam and Eve sinned.
Because Adam and Eve sinned. In the first article of the Creed, we talk not only about creation, but also about preservation. What does that word preservation mean as we use it in the Bible?
The Lord gives me everything I need to support this body and life.
Everything I need to support this body and life. All right, let's move on to the second article of the Creed. Second article of the Creed is about Jesus. Jacob, what does the name Jesus mean?
The Lord saves.
The Lord saves. Jesus Christ. What does the word Christ mean?
The Messiah.
The Messiah, the anointed one. All right. What then, Blake? Well, you handed that away quick. What then, Blake, is the second article of the Apostles' Creed?
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What does this mean? Joe?
I believe in Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who who has redeemed me, a lost, condemned person, purchased and won me from death, from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death, so that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
Perfect. Some people have said that Luther's meaning to the second article of the Apostles' Creed is the closest thing that you can get to the divine word by a human being. It is that powerful and that important. Okay, as we studied the second article, we talked about the two natures of Christ, the true two natures of Christ. Peyton, what are the two natures of Christ?
True man and true God.
True man and true God. True man and true God. Walter, why did our Savior have to be true man?
So he can die.
So he could suffer and die. Ellison, why did our Savior have to be true God?
So he could rise from the dead.
So he could rise from the dead. Eli, for what threefold office was Christ anointed?
Prophet, priest, and king.
Prophet, priest, and king. One of the Bible passages that we used as the basis for much of our study in the second article of the Creed is John 3:16. Aubrey, what is John 3:16?
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He believes in him shall not perish. But ever.
You got it. But have ever.
But ever have earned eternal life.
Very good. Very good. All right, Eli. Based on John 3:16, explain to me the difference between objective and subjective justification.
Objective is Jesus died for everybody. Subjective is Jesus died for me.
Okay. Objective, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Subjective, he died for me. I get the benefits from it when I believe it, just like the two parts of John 3:16. Okay, Allison, the two states of Christ's work, and it's not Nebraska and South Dakota, I'll tell you that.
Humiliation and exaltation.
The state of humiliation and the state of exaltation. Walter, what is this state of humiliation thing?
God has power, but he doesn't use it.
Okay, Jesus has all the power of God, but he doesn't fully use it. Peyton, explain to me then what the exaltation, the state of exaltation is all about.
He
fully uses his power again. Okay, Jacob. The Bible says, and you heard it in the sermon tonight, that Jesus will come again. When will Jesus come again?
On the last day.
Okay, the last day. When is that? I want to get out my calendar, my date book. When is the last day? When is Judgment Day?
We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know. They love it when the answer is we don't know. Okay. Let's move on to the third part. We study God the Holy Spirit in the third article of the Creed. Peyton, what is the third article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. One of our students who really, really, really wanted to do the meaning to the third article of the Creed isn't here tonight. So Joe, double duty, man. Third article, what does this mean?
I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified me in the one true faith. He also calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ, the true faith. In this church, he daily and richly forgives me all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers. This is most certainly true.
This is most certainly true. Outstanding, Joe. Thank you. All right. So, Jacob, when we study the third article, when we study about the Holy Spirit, there are five parts to this article that we study and have questions on? What are those five parts to the article?
The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Very good. Okay. We said in that explanation to the third article that the Holy Spirit is all about sanctification. What does that word sanctification mean, Peyton?
To make holy.
To make holy. To make holy. Through what means, Walter, does the Holy Spirit work?
Means of grace.
The means of grace. Allison, what are the means of grace?
Word and sacrament.
Word and sacrament. Word and sacrament. Eli, what then is the fruit of faith?
Good works.
Good works. Good works don't save us, but where faith is there, good works will follow. When we studied the church, we studied two types of churches. What are those two types of churches, Aubrey?
Invisible and visible.
Okay, invisible and visible. Eli, who belongs to the invisible church?
All believers.
All believers, only believers. In addition to believers, who also belongs to the visible church, the church we see?
Hypocrites.
Hypocrites. Walter, what's a hypocrite?
Someone who says one thing but does another.
Yeah, somebody who says one thing and does another. In the church, that would be somebody who claims to be a believer, but really isn't. Peyton, on the last day, whose bodies will rise?
The bodies of all people.
All people, believers and unbelievers alike. Jacob, will unbelievers get a chance, a second chance to believe at that time?
No.
No. No. Once we're dead, we're dead. Then comes the judgment. Blake, how can you be sure that you have eternal life?
Jesus died for me.
Amen. Amen. That last question, in many respects, is the most important question of all. Many times when people are asked how they can be sure that they have eternal life, they say something like, well, I have a strong faith. I go to church all the time. I read the Bible. I'm an elder. I'm a pastor. If the first word out of your mouth to that question is I, all you're saying is that you have faith in yourself. You are sure because Jesus Christ has bled and died for you. That certainty and that surety is God's gift to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And not only did the Holy Spirit give you that certainty of salvation, the Holy Spirit gave these young members of our congregation the power and the ability to confess the truth of His Word. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Did great. When we're done, you come out and shake hands with me, okay? All right. Our service continues with the prayers of the church, order of Vespers. Please stand.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. addition to the prayer request list in our bulletin, we have two additional prayer requests. We pray for the mother of Jesse Luby and Gina Wood, who's having knee surgery to fix some problems with a knee replacement later this week. We also pray for Paris Renter, who will be traveling to Turkey Sunday in a deployment, and so we keep her in our prayers as she continues that service for our nation. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed upon us without any merits or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine. Provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to all of those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace upon all the nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all of those who are in authority over us. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you the care of our schools so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, war and pestilence, scarcity and famine, and from every other sort of evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and the Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and the needy, the comforter of the distressed and of all of those who sorrow. Be especially with those in our own midst, including Galen Gurdis, Diane Birdsley, and all others who are shut in. Be with the mother of Jesse Luby and Gina Wood, and be with Paris Renter as she deploys. Accept also, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by a true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is still day, before the night comes when no one can work. When our last hour does come, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated for a closing hymn. There is a slight typo in the bulletin. The hymn number is 349, hymn 349.
Thank you.
So many great Advent hymns and only 4 weeks to sing them. We're going to have to sing a few more throughout the year. Such great theology, great hymn writing, great tunes, and a great season to prepare. To prepare our hearts to welcome Him. Jesus, the light that overcomes the darkness of our world. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We got a busy, busy month of December, just like always. Tonight was the first of our Advent meals. There'll be two more. Serving is starting at 4:30 this year, 4:30. Advent worship at 6:30, and we will have midweek and confirmation the next 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, the 18th, our third Advent Wednesday will be the Children's Christmas program. We have a blood drive coming up on Friday, December 20. Friday, December 20. So you know the routine. If you can give blood, give. If you can't, encourage someone else to. Also, Adam Mankin, the member of our church council that puts these things together, whatever, and sits at the front table welcoming people and all that, cannot be here that day, so he needs some help. If you could help out, volunteer for even an hour or two and share that with a few other people, just to welcome people at the front door, check off the names and all that kind of stuff. Friday, December 20th, let Adam know. The details are in the news and notes. Details are in the news and notes. Lifelight Bible study tomorrow at 1. Pastor, anything else? Vicar, there's no Bible study tonight, is that correct? No Bible study during Advent season. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and life as we stay awake in the light of Christ.